Welcome to another episode of Why Not You with your host, Derek Wells, where we talk with leaders and entrepreneurs who are doing what they love to do. They'll share insights into overcoming adversity, the systems they use, along with the power of personal growth, faith, and much more. Our goal is to empower you with personal growth, faith, and a plan for ultimate success. Now, here's Derek with another life-changing story.
And welcome to another eye-opening episode of Why Not You. This is your host, D. Wells. And today we are joined by none other than Mr. Wade Simmons of Wade in the Water Film Productions right out of Chicago. We're just going to dive into his story. I mean, he just has an exhilarating journey from, you know, filming family events to embracing the emotional depth of funeral business. That's right, y'all. The funeral business. He's a mortician also. Y'all about to hear it all. And it all started from a special teacher that he had named Mrs. Jackson, who challenged her students to identify what it is that they wanted to do. I'm not going to talk. Let's just get into this. Let's go. All right. All right. What's going on, everybody? This is your host, D. Wells, with Why Not You. And I got Mr. Wade Simmons with Wade in the Water Film Productions. Come on. From Chicago. Coming from Chicago, Chi-Town, y'all. Let's give it up for Wade. What's going on, man?
Oh, nothing much. How you doing today?
Good. Wade in a Water Productions. Man, I'm loving the name, bro. I'm loving the name, man. How'd you come up with the name, Wade in the Water?
So one of my coworkers at the funeral home, Miss Rosina Jordan, she always called me Wade in the Water. She's like, Wade in the Water, Wade in the Water. So I'm like, and then, like, you know, think about the song. So I'm like, you know, with the type of name that I'm have, I'm like, it only makes sense to do Wade in the Water. So, you know, I thank Miss Rosina for that.
So, man, what was your childhood like, man? What made you get into film?
For me, actually, I always wanted to be a filmmaker. I think I might have came out in the womb wanting to be one, because I still got one of my old cameras right here.
Are you serious? What?
Yeah, but when I was a little child, I used to always like watch a lot of the Disney films, and I was like one of them like children that was like, when you asked me what I wanted to do, like I always knew. So, like, you know, watching stories like about like Walt Disney, I used to read a lot of books actually about Walt Disney, how he started. And believe it or not, my dad was actually my first employee. Like, he used to draw like cartoon characters for me, and I'd be like, Dad, that one don't look right, throw it out. So it was like, he was the artist, because, like, me personally, like, I always wanted to learn how to draw, but I could never draw. So my talent was more like writing, you know, and dealing with the camera. So I'm like, you know, I think I'll stick to that.
So when your father was helping you, what kind of things were you filming back then?
Well, so, like, back then, I used to film a lot of, like little family events. You know, we go out of town or whatever, or, like, my great-grandmother, we, like, film her birthday party. And then I used to take my video camera to school, actually. When I was in elementary school on the west side of Chicago, I would take my camera film. I got, like, a lot of footage from back then somewhere in this house somewhere. But, yeah, but, like, I always knew what I wanted to do.
Yeah, that is wild. That is wild. So is there, I guess, like, just kind of growing up and looking back at some of the things that you did, what do you think is probably your most prized possession?
Actually, the footage from my elementary school, because, like, you know, it's funny to, like, as a child, like, you know, sometimes you know what you want to do, but then when you get involved in it, you know, you kind of find out the logistics of the business. So when I actually got into filmmaking professionally, I learned that I like documentaries better.
Did you really?
So, if I can, you know, somehow get my hand on the footage from elementary school, I want to, you know, gather some of the people I went to school with and do a documentary about going to school. Because, like, things are so different now, you know?
Right.
So it would just be nice to have that memory again.
And that's rare, too, man, when you think about, like, how many people actually know what they wanted to do since your childhood. And then now you're actually living it.
Yeah.
That's
But, man, you
that's
know a- what? It's funny, though, like, as a child, though, like, you know, you have a dream, but like mm-hmm. when you actually grow up and find out what the world is really like and how things really go,
yeah,
you know, it kind of makes you like a lot more aware. That's what, like I said, I thank God for my wife, because like even like with having her in my corner, like it's like you learn so much about like when you think you knew something mm-hmm. and then you find out like, man, there's a lot of stuff I don't. Because like, you know, just like we talked about, because like nowadays, a lot of people are getting into entertainment.
You're right.
And now we pretty much got cameras at our dispense. But the thing is, there's a difference between the people that are doing it on a bigger scale and on a smaller scale. And so those who are doing it on a bigger scale, they actually understand how the business actually works.
Uh-huh. So, man, is it a pretty huge like learning curve just to kind of get into it, or is it just something? I mean, you just start recording, you just hit recording.
I think
and then your next thing you know, you up in it. Or is there kind of like a process as far as you know? I think people just, you know, sometimes they think, or they have an idea of, you know, what it is that they want to do, so they just start running with it. Just, I mean, not fully knowing or understanding, but at the same time, you just kind of learn as you go.
Yeah, well, that's what happened with me, because believe it or not, even though film was like my passion, you know, because even in high school, like I took like arts and stuff like that. But in high school, I actually kind of eventually put my dream of being a filmmaker kind of on the shelf.
Did you?
And because I started working in a funeral home my senior year, because again, as a child, I wanted to do two things. I said I was going to be a mortician and a filmmaker.
Wow.
And like I said, it was funny because I remember like freshman year, I ended up going to high school in the South Suburbs, and we had a teacher, Miss Jackson. She like, I want you all to write a plan for your life. She had us get pictures of ourselves when we were children. She had us like find out where we were born, get our birth certificates, and write a plan. So in my biography, I wrote that one day I was going to be a funeral director and a filmmaker. And I ended up pursuing both. But what happened was, I ended up doing the funeral stuff first. So like I focused on that, but then kind of hit like a few roadblocks. And then like right after I went to school to be a mortician, I went right to film school. And then when I went to film school, I started making a lot of connections, man. It just, you know, hey, I'm blessed, man. I'm enjoying it. And I met a lot of people, man.
Yeah. So why'd you want to become a mortician?
Well, so for me, like, I don't know, something about it just never scared me. Like, I'm like, you know, it's like, I figured like me being like a religious person, you know, being around the atmosphere, it never really scared me. And then too, like, I take that business more as a fuel. Like, you know what? Okay, I know we're not going to be down here forever.
Right.
In this life, but you know what? It motivates you to live with purpose. Like, I think to me, like a lot of people take like, well, I can't be around that all the time. But like, to me, being there and seeing what you see every day,
yeah,
it kind of makes you look at life more realistically and say, you know what, I need to be more purpose driven. You know, like I don't need to be looking at what somebody else doing and how they messed up or this or that. Like, you know, my thing is more about living with purpose, you know.
Right.
And then in that, you can help other people find theirs if they want to.
That's true, know? Huh? That is true. Now, did you know anybody who was in a mortuary business prior to wanting to become a mortician?
Yeah. We went to church with a few of them. One mm-hmm. of them I worked with, but the ones that I knew coming up, you know, Roby, they have a funeral home like not too far from where I live, but I was knowing them ever since I was little. So they knew that I wanted to do it. So they actually invited me to their funeral home, took me back to their prep room and kind of like, you know, showed me everything. Cause you know, like before you go into that, you probably want to make sure that's what you want to do. Cause a lot of people go to school and get licensed for it.
Right.
And then be like, well, you know, I don't know about this, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I stuck with it, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and the schooling was rough, though. I'm not going to tell you that. It was rough.
Was it?
A lot of anatomy, a lot of chemistry, a lot of stuff like that, you know.
Right.
I felt like some of it was just overboard. But, you know, you know how things go. It's like half the stuff you learn in school, you'll never use again after a while, you know.
Right.
Really, the more important things was like, you know, taking the proper embalming steps and knowing the laws.
Right.
You know, the legality is everything.
Mm-hmm. But when you think about like how many people actually just kind of jump into something, not really understanding the full scope.
Yeah.
And they're like, man, this is something that I want to do. probably because they've seen it, but they never really experienced it. And then all of a sudden, once they experienced it, they're like, you know what? I don't think this is right for me.
But you know, it happens because, and then my thing is that's why, like I said, like, you know, I think all of us have curiosity in us, you know.
Right.
And, you know, once you pursue it, you know, you can make the decision to say either this is for me or it's not. Cause like I had a friend that got his stuff way before I did in the funeral business. We was in class together, but excuse me, he finished up before I did. Cause them tests was hard. But then next thing you know, he like, wait, give it up, brother. Let it go.
He said, let
it go. You know, so, you know, to each his own.
Right. So how long you've been doing that?
13 years.
And so out of the two, you got so filmmaking and being a mortician, which one do you think actually brings you the most fulfillment?
To be honest, they both do.
Really?
It's kind of like if I was a parent and I had two children, right? Like, you know, some people say I got a favorite one and all that, but to be honest with you, I'm one of them people that just be real, like, you know, I enjoy both of them because, like, for me, I've been doing it because, to be honest, there were times where, like, when I wanted to walk away from the funeral business, something literally would happen to remind me, like, this is what you got into it for.
Really?
So what is I don't think I want to do this no more. People are like, no, man, you know, you're good for it. Like, we appreciate you doing it. So I think that's one of the things. Anybody in that business, that's probably about the only, because, like, you know, even though some people do make good money doing it, but again, you know, if you don't enjoy what you do, it ain't gonna last too long.
Right.
You know? Yeah. It ain't gonna be, you know, but I do know some morticians that are not really like people. Persons, you'll be surprised, but
really,
you teach his own.
So, what is one of those moments that might come across where you're like, you know what, do I really want to stay in this? Do I want to do this? Continue on?
Well, you know what? I think there was one particular day I'll never forget it. And that was this young guy. He was a very young guy, and him and his wife, I think he was from Nigeria or something like that, him and his wife. And he said that he went to work, you know, and he went to work. And when he came back, he said, at first his wife was good. When he came back, he found his wife on the floor and the baby next to her.
Are you
serious? And I'm not going to lie, like that day, I wasn't feeling my best. Like, cause like when they first came in, you know, they were like really demanding, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes, you know, people have to understand that I don't care what you do or how much you like something, you can get overwhelmed. You know, some people don't be transparent, but you can. And it wasn't the best day for me. But like, when I actually sat down and talked to the guy and I asked him, you know, and he told me, oh man, that was my wife. Like, you know, I felt really bad, you know?
Yeah.
And then that's when compassion kicked in. Because actually that day, I was supposed to do something like the next day. And they were like, well, like, because I had got some the presentation and stuff working for him. And he like, well, you're not going to be tomorrow. I said, no, I ain't going to be tomorrow. I mean, you know, I'm sorry about this, but then I ended up coming because, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know. It's just something about it that it does make you compassionate, you know?
Right.
Because sometimes you got to remember, sometimes you do got to separate work from other things, you know, because when something becomes a job, it's like, you know, you're just trying to get it done. But when you really, you know, think about it, you know, I feel like that job kind of keeps you more grounded in it. And I think it keeps you a little more humble too, because like, man, this can happen to anybody. Like I was sitting at work when they told me my uncle passed away, so it's inevitable, but you know, it's just one of them things where like, you know, I think it teaches you a lot of humility.
I bet.
And compassion. Yeah.
I'm sure. Cause I mean, I'm sure you've seen it all from young to old.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. But the funeral business also kind of helped spark fire me in my film career, because when I went to film school, by the time I graduated, because I was in film school for 2 years right after mortuary school, and when I went to film school, by the time I left out of there, I had already produced over 14 shorts.
Wow.
And a lot of people was just like they was looking at me like I was crazy, but this is my thing. Like, from my background, I'm always reminded of, like, time is precious. Time is important. I know some people, you know, may consider time being a man-made concept or whatever, but I'd say whatever you call it, it runs out. So, you know, use your numbers wisely.
Right.
You know, so to me, it's like, you know, it just kind of taught me that if you really love doing something, just, you know, enjoy yourself and do it. Enjoy and like for me getting into film, it ended up leading me into other things. Like it ended up opening the door for me to experience getting into pro wrestling. And man, that was awesome too, because like I got a chance to meet some people from WWE, man. Man, and I'm telling you, man,
You're doing it all. What film school did you go to?
I went to a school called Flashpoint Chicago. Okay. And right after I graduated, because of COVID, they ended up closing down.
Did they really?
Mm-hmm.
But at least you finished.
Man, I was thinking. But see, but then that go to show you too, like, you know, it was funny because, like, my boss at the funeral home at the time, when he found out I was going to school, he was like, why are you going back to school? And, you know, you ain't got all this situation yet. Because I'm like, look, you know just well enough time don't wait on nobody, man.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, sometimes if things are not working out right away, it don't mean you give up on it. But, you know, you gotta make every moment count. So, you know, you can't sit around. Well, now I ain't going to say what a person can't do. But me, I didn't want to sit around and just, you know, keep trying to pass that test and all that. And then the funny thing about it was I ended up passing the first test right when I went to film school. Then I passed the last test after I graduated from film school. So it all worked out.
So for the folks out there who don't know what short films are, like when you talked about, you've already, I mean, you did, what is it, 14, I think you said 14 shorts. What is considered a short?
So anything, I would say anything that's 30 minutes and under.
Yeah.
So, I mean, nowadays, you know, I feel like back in the day, like shorts were more prevalent. And then for a while, like, you didn't see them as much no more. But it's like now, shorts, I feel like, are coming back around now. Well, they've been back around now because, like, everybody's, like, again, they got a camera. If they're making some type of film, they're doing short films, you know.
That's right. That's it.
And then nowadays, we kind of, in this little instant world now, so like the quicker the better for some people. You it's the truth, man.
It is.
You know, now I think that, you know, people move a little, things are happening a little faster now.
Right. For
sure. Even if you want to promote yourself, right? You know, like my wife always say, like, you got to keep advertising because, like, you know, if you just make something and don't do nothing with it, like, everybody may not stick around for 40 minutes or so. So sometimes you got to get to the point, you know.
You do, right?
and if they see something they like, they may be willing to give it a chance, you know.
Yeah. And I know you mentioned documentaries. What kind of things you like to document? What's the, like, the storylines?
Well, for me, I'm open to any type of documentary because, like, to me, like, when you work on narrative films, right?
Mm-hmm.
You work with actors and all that's cool and fun, but I like talking to real people.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit better because when you're dealing with actors, you know, you cut, you got to say it like this, you know, you got to move like this. But when you actually talk to somebody in a documentary, yeah, you got to have a good camera. You got to have good lighting. I mean, you know, the system is the same, but the only difference to me is that you get to talk to real people. You know, it's like it's not really acting. It's just somebody telling a story. And you putting it together. That's opposed to, oh, you got to share like this cut that was too, you know.
Yeah. I don't like the kind of emotion you had in that scene right there. Change it up. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. And a lot of people do like working with me because, like I said, I don't, you know, I'm not really overbearing with my actor. Like, I work with quite a few people. Everybody's different. But, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think even as a filmmaker, sometimes you gotta get the actors a little wiggle room sometimes.
Yeah.
Because, you know? Like, they might do something that make it better, you know. So
right.
Yeah, I've seen it happen.
So what are some or who are some of the people in the industry that you admire and who, you know, that have inspired you?
Well, I would tell you too, Spike Lee and George Lucas.
Yeah.
Those are the two biggest two because, and I'm going to tell you why, because Spike Lee, you know, one of my favorite movies that he made was The Crooklyns. And what I loved about The Crooklyns story was, like, that film was, like, really relatable. Like, I mean, like, you know, it kind of showed the struggles of living in the black community, you know. It showed, like, you know, the parents when they split and then their mom died. But I felt like that film was, like, really, it was real, you know.
Yeah.
And to me, like, as a filmmaker, like, I don't know, I think that it's good when you can create something that people can connect with. You know, and then George Lucas, he comes in the science fiction realm, but what I also like about Spike Lee, what I like about him is, like, he kind of, I'm gonna be honest, like, he surrounded himself with the right kind of people, but also, like, he just pursued his dream, you know.
Right.
And that's true. I like, and another thing I like about Spike Lee, like, I feel like he still gives back, because, you know, he not only is a filmmaker, he's a film instructor too. And I like that he's able to go back and share, like, you know, tips with people and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I like that also, that, like, he's not just focusing on the just filmmaking, like, he's also in the educational part of it too.
That's good, right?
Now, George Lucas, now what I like about him, you know, he's not a traditional filmmaker, even though he kind of started out with a Hollywood back. A lot of people may not acknowledge that, but he had an internship, I think, with Warner Brothers or one of them studios. But he, you know, he used it to his advantage. But what I liked about him was, like, he wanted to make different kind of movies, you know. Like, some people in that system, they want to, you know, stick to the script or whatever. But he, like, I want to make them kind of movies, yeah. You know. I want to make the movies that I want to make. And if people don't like them, I'm not worried about trying to do this or that. I just want to make movies.
That's right.
And from him doing that, it ended up turning out pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
But again, but still, he still had connections to, like, you know, the right people, you know?
That's true.
So I think that everything is a combination of both, you know?
Yeah. I get that. As you're talking, man, it kind of reminds me of, you know, when you think about a lot of the action movies, I mean, you got some who just kind of dominate. I mean, that's all they do, right? And that's kind of what they're known for, but they're doing the movies that they want to do. When you think of, like, yeah, Sylvester Stallone or,
Jordan Peele.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Different, but I like his style, you know?
Uh-huh. That's right. You got to make your own mark.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing that I can respect about George Lucas, right? Like, him not, you know, letting people stifle his creativity. And he used his own money at some point, you know, and that's what I liked about him, right? Like, he found out their business model and he used it in his own way. And now he got one of the biggest franchises, and he was able to sell it, and, you know, hey, he's living pretty good, you know?
He's living pretty good. I'm not too familiar, like, you know, of the film industry as far as, like, you know, ways that you actually have to protect yourself when you actually come out with the product, and being able to monetize on it. How important is it for you just to be aware of just, whether it's the legal stuff, having people in your corner that not, you know, that's not going to take advantage of you. How important is that?
That's very important. And, like, for me, my recommendation for me, I would just be saying, to be honest with you, never give people your best idea, you know? Like, if you're really trying to, like, you know, make it in that industry or whatever, you know, you can maybe come up with something that you may be willing to sell off or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, just to test the waters a little bit. Nothing wrong with that, but never give nobody your best ideas.
Yeah.
Because it have been some people that put their stuff out there and people read their scripts and took them and just rechanged them. You know, it has happened. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's a cold-blooded game, man. Because, I mean, you want to be able to be in a position where you can actually trust and believe that people have your best interest in mind. But then you got to think of you just got some people out there who are just straight cutthroat.
Yeah, and, but I think the interesting thing about the times we live in now is so many ways you can document stuff to where to me, it's harder for people to do it now because, like, you know, if somebody take, you know, some artists did have the time, they've been making YouTube video. Oh, you make a movie and I met with you, man. I know where you got it from. You know, so that's just like, I think it's a little harder to get away with it now.
When you think about, like, you know, what you're doing and you want to focus like on a documentary part, I mean, how important is just like having that opportunity to share what's like what's really in your heart, to convey a message that inspires hope and positivity?
What I think about that is, like, I think it's important because, to be real with you, it gets to a point where, like, people taste the difference.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, like, growing up, I didn't really watch documentaries, but, like, as I've gotten older and I, like, started to watch them. And to be honest, when I went to film school and really got introduced to this class, and we had to make a documentary. And, like, when we were sitting there, like, really talking to people, and I'm like, wow, I like it because, like, we're talking to real people. We're here filming. And to be honest with you, we get to be in all these different places and just talking to real people. And I think when you hear real people, because think about it, a lot of times, you know, people get judged on acting and all that stuff. But when somebody telling you their real story,
yeah,
what can you really say, you know?
Exactly.
Because it's their story, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they can always look at the actor and say, oh, she didn't say that right. He could have did this. But, I mean, if somebody telling you, like, no, I walked down the street, you know, what can you do, you know?
That's true. So do you think, because you mentioned, like, earlier back in, I think it was in back in school, how one of your teachers said, you know, write down some of your ideas and some of your dreams that you had. Do you think that was, like, one of the things that kind of sparked a lot of what you're doing now, just because, I mean, you actually had somebody be like, you know, they actually took an interest in what it is that you're doing and wanted you to stretch your imagination. Yeah, how important?
And I'll never forget, you know, that teacher name, because her name was Miss Jackson. And what I loved about Miss Jackson, right? Well, she was one of them teachers that kept it real.
Yeah.
And she loved the student. And she actually took the time to tell us, like, okay, don't, like, just be out there just doing anything. Like, you know, have a plan and know where you're going. And even if you don't have a plan, sometimes you got to just sit down and think and say, okay, you know, what is it that I really want to do?
Right.
You know, now, it's, you got a right to change it, but at least have some type of goal or roadmap to, like, where you're trying to get to. And so, like, to me, I appreciate her for that because, like, you know, it's funny because my friends tell me all the time, they say, Wade, one thing we say about you, everything you said you're going to do, man, you did it. So, because again, like, you know, I'm like, I just thank God that I was blessed enough to know what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got people struggling nowadays, just, and they're either in that comfort zone or they're in that place of fear, and they just afraid to operate on any kind of level whatsoever. Well, you know what?
But you know, and in this life, it's either sink or swim, you know?
It is.
And I'd rather swim. And that's why, like I say, like, I thank God for my wife because, like, you know, as I've been kind of, like, on this journey doing this thing, sometimes you do need a little help or you do need somebody that can, you know, push you further. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's one of the things, too, because, like, you know, even though sometimes we feel like, okay, I got this, I got talent, I can do this, but it takes more than that.
It does.
You need a good support system because you really can't do it all by yourself.
You can't.
You know, I'm a big LeBron James fan, but he ain't go out there and win the championship by himself. You know, even Michael Jordan, he ain't go out there by himself.
That's right.
You know, you got to have a good support system.
You do. Know?
I don't care how talented you are, like, you can't do it all by yourself.
That's right.
It would be nice, but you can't.
And, like, just speaking of support, when you think about, like, this association and environment, like, how important is it just to have people in your corner, man, who just have the right attitude, right characteristics to actually help you flourish?
It's very important because, you know, you need like-minded people because, like, one thing I thank God for, like, I never let people discourage me from what I wanted to do. Like, even with me being in the funeral business, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people was like, well, you know what? You're doing this. You should just focus on this. And I'm like, let me tell y'all something. I know we love the business, and I know that this is a job and it's a business, and I know that this is what some people enjoy doing. But just because this is what I do, I'm not gonna let this take my life from me.
Right.
You know? And just because I may enjoy doing this, that don't mean that I don't have other things. So to me, it's about time management too.
Uh-huh.
And then on top of that, you know, you have to learn how to, you know, again, a lot of people, like, you know, just focus on, like, you know, just making money. That's one part of it, you know.
That is.
If you don't have no joy with what you're doing, you'll be miserable, you know. So
yeah,
I don't want to just focus on one thing that makes me happy. I want to do it all, you know.
That's right.
I want all of it. and so, like, I'm not going to let nobody rob me of that, man, you know.
Yeah. That is so true. Like, how many people, I mean, just hearing you talk about that, man, just makes me think about how many people, whether it's youngsters who are in college now, they're doing it because their parents wanted them to do it. They're not doing it because they want to do it. And you think about, like, how much time and energy or money that these people probably wasting, not really pursuing something that they love to do, because one, not everybody is built for school. Maybe they built for a trade or something, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so,
you're right.
Yeah. So having some of those people, like, you know, who can actually, like, help guide you or whatever, man, it's huge.
And I do think that's important, because, like, you know, you don't want to just live and just be making it, you know, like, all to right. be honest with you, like, and I think it's important for even our people, like, to understand how money works, how business works, like, whatever business you in, get under somebody and find out how things go. Because, again, like, when I started dealing with the film industry, you know, I'm like, okay, wait a minute now. I didn't know all this. Like, you know, I mean, and I'm not saying it in a bad way, but it's like, you know, you got to know how to be a producer. You got to know how to write, because it's more than just talent. You know, you have to know how the business works. You have to know how to make the right connections. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just think that that's with entertainment, but no, that's in any business. If you're going to be a lawyer, you got to hook up with the right people. You're going to be a mortician, you got to hook up with people in the business. Oh, it's like, you know, that's to say, birds of a feather, they flock together.
Yeah.
You know?
So do you have a mentor? Because, I mean, you talk about, like, just learning and growing, man. You have to have somebody that's, you know, that's holding you accountable, or, you know, showing you some things that you might not be able to understand or realize on your own. And that actually kind of, you know, that just that whole process just eliminates you having to basically, I don't want to say circumvent, but, man, you might miss something because you might have a blind spot, but you have this mentor, somebody, a coach that's actually be like, hey, Wade, man, you might want to check this out, because if you go down this path right here, this could possibly happen. We want to eliminate that so you're not wasting a whole lot of time.
Yeah, well, you know what? In the film business, there's a gentleman by the name of Bill Backens. Like, when I was in school, he was kind of like my guidance counselor, and he's a filmmaker, and he worked for HBO and all stuff like. And you remember VeggieTales?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he worked on that series too. But it's like, a lot of times when I have any film related questions, like, I'll reach out to him or a gentleman by the name of Charles or Mr. John Otterbarger. But, you know, everything that I've done, I always hang around people that does the thing, you know.
Yeah.
And what I like about it is, like, you know, especially in the film business, right, it's so many avenues you can take with it, you know.
That's right, huh?
You can, it's really like, I mean, you can do narratives, you can do documentaries, you can do commercials, and you can do weddings, you know. It just edit, you can just write, you know. It just all the, now to me, I think the way that the business is now, I think you need to kind of do it all, to be real with you.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, especially the way things are now, like, especially with AI and all this stuff. No, you need to write, produce, do it all. Even do a little acting too. Hey?
I mean, you did mention Spike Lee, man. How many films was Spike Lee in that he directed and wrote? Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
But you know what? That's a good, but to me, that's really a good business model though, too, because, like, you know, promote yourself. Because I always believe that too. Like, every artist should be somehow featured in their work, you know?
Yeah.
Because people should know, because you're a brand, because all the other business, like Disney, right? Every film they make, you see Disney.
Yeah.
You know, Warner, but every film they make, Warner, but Tyler Perry, you see it. So if they promote themselves, why can't I? You know, why can't everybody else? So, you know, you got it. Because, like, if And I always say this, right? Like, if the people that are doing it and very well known constantly promote themselves, then, hey, we ain't got no choice but to get our hand and keep doing it too, because
You got to.
that's part of it.
Now, how do you view competition?
In my opinion, there is none, and I'm gonna tell you
Yeah.
why. Because people don't like what they like.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, and I mean, because I hear people say that a lot, like, even in the funeral business, right? Well, they're gonna go over here. They go, well, look, I ain't no better than, I ain't trying to be no better than nobody. If you want to come here, we appreciate it and we'll do the best we can. But if you
Right.
want to go somewhere else, I ain't gonna bad mouth nobody. Look, I understand,
Yeah.
I mean, I know, that may not be how some people, but I don't know. I've never really been a competitive person.
Yeah. Now
It's just
what?
like somebody, I can do it a little bit better. Well, hey, well, teach me something. You know
For
what
sure.
I'm saying?
Exactly, right? Yeah, because I'll never forget, man. I was listening to Dr. Miles Monroe one time, and he was talking about back home when he was in the Bahamas, how a friend of his was the owner of one fast food restaurant, and he actually took him to another fast food restaurant, and he was kind of surprised because he was like, "Don't, man, this is your competitor. Why you want to go over there?" And he was like, "Well, one, that's my friend." Then he was like, "Two, man, he's serving something completely different that's gonna reach, that's targeting a whole different market. So there's really no competitive, no vibes here. We all in it together, man." Yeah.
And a lot of people be surprised. A lot of these companies, man, some of these people related and everything. You'd be surprised.
I know, right?
People think it's good, but really not. It's just people, smart business people.
Yep. Now, has there ever been like one of those defining moments, just like in the film industry, or just what doing what you're doing, where you've like, man, do I really want to do this? Or that actually just kind of changed your perspective and made you just go a little bit deeper into to like, you know what? This is something I know I want to do, but I'm just having a rough day right now. And I might just need to pivot and make some changes.
Well, you know what? I mean, I think there's been a lot of them type of moments, because because sometimes I do tell myself, like, you know what? Everybody's filmmaking that. Like, why? Wait, why?
Yeah.
But to me, it's like, I feel like, whatever you do, you just got to do the best you can with it, and then too, like I said, like, if you got to start thinking about things that you, well, I ain't gonna say you, but me, I tell my wife this too. Like, I want to start looking at what I haven't done. Like, I know what I have done
You're
and
right.
what haven't I done. Because if you're doing the best you can, you do the best you can. But when you know better, you try to say, okay, maybe I need to spend a little more time over here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, one thing I don't do, I don't down myself. But I did draw some inspiration from a former, high school mate, because there's a young man that I went to high school with. And I remember, like years ago, like him and another gentleman, like I remember them rapping in the cafeteria and everybody surrounding and everything. And when he went to college, I guess for a little while, he was still rapping and everything, and he was doing his thing. And now he just recently signed with Jim Jones, I think maybe last year or so. But I mean, he's pursuing his dream, and like, seeing that even before him signing, it's like, it's kind of nice when you see somebody, doing what they love, and to
Right.
me, I'm always happy for people. Like, hey, we all different to me, and like, everybody got a different purpose, and everybody got a different, there's a different plan for their life. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, long as you're spreading love and treating people right, that's what make a difference.
That's
But
true,
I
man.
mean, but just seeing him just keep going and keep doing it, like, wow, like, he did it,
Right.
Yeah, so you should check him out if you want. His name is Alley Cat the Rapper, but from Chicago Heights. But man, he doing some big things, man.
Cool. Because I think a lot of times, man, people, man, especially nowadays, they just expect people, or they expect like just kind of like instant results. They don't see the hard work. They don't see the grind. They don't know how long somebody's just been pushing, whether it's, you know, it's months, years, and they feel like, you know, man, how did this person just all of a sudden like have a breakthrough? But they don't understand all the stuff that this person's gone through, like just that journey.
Well, you know what told me that? Pro wrestling, because when me and my friend Jalen, when we actually got in the position to train for it, you know, we trained with some people. Now they're doing some really big stuff. And like us, you know, we came into it like, you know, we just trying it out. This is a hobby. You know, I'm not devoting my time to, like I told them, you know, I don't mind coming here for this, but I'm not as devoted as some of the other ones were. But the ones who were coming to practice and stuff like that after a while, some of them, you know, they're doing some big stuff, man. I mean, like, I don't know if you're familiar with like AEW and stuff, but, you know, some of the people that's on the AEW, like, you know, we were blessed to train with them. So, you know, I mean, hard work in some ways, it does pay off, but I say smart work pays off.
Smart work. That's right.
And you can be working overworking, like, but that's why I say sometimes you just got to know how to, you got to kind of know how to finesse a little bit too, you know.
Hey, thanks for joining me in this episode of Why Not You with Mr. Wade Simmons. This is just part one, and there was a lot to take away. I want you all just to think about who in your life has challenged you to think and grow outside of your comfort zone and pursue something that you really wanted to do, but also flip it. Who are you inspiring to do the same thing? So as you guys go about your week, just remember we cannot become what we need if we remain where we are. Till next week, y'all have a blessed week. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Why Not You. Remember, have faith and believe in yourself. God does. Also, subscribe to our channel and go to our website for more free content and life-changing stories at thewhynotyou.com. Until next time.